Hey guys.
Welcome to another sexy episode of Keep Your Gin Up Podcast. I am Jess.
And I'm Zana.
And we are here delivering you flavor to your Friday, baby. Woo! And we're very, very excited.
And we're separated.
We are very excitable people, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
But we're separated.
If you listened to last week's podcast, you would have heard that I was about to fly off to Thursday Island, which is my big spill the tea. I'm literally over here on the tip of Australia. Mm-hmm. In the Torres Strait Island region. I'm still learning so much. I'm getting bombarded with information.
Yeah.
But it's a little town of 2,500 and I'm literally on an island, baby. It is nuts.
So exciting. So exciting. To the point that like we actually just like may potentially be getting me there for 3 weeks. So that's even more exciting. So we'll stay tuned. I might be on an island soon too. But at the moment I'm in Brisbane. So, yes, that's my life.
Well, I need my sidekick here, you see. We're trying to do this, like, ruraly. We're, like, separated, trying to do this podcast.
And I know what's like, it been. It's been 3 days. And we're like, okay, when can I get there? God help us if we ever get partners. They're going to be like, what the fuck?
I know. If we ever get partners, who knows, eh? I'm kidding.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. Anyway, welcome to our episode today. Yes, we have an awesome episode today for you guys with a fellow nurse called Han. She is basically an ex-nurse. I think she's now dedicated her entire, I guess, business to helping nurses, helping women kind of deal with being empathetic and kind of going through compassion fatigue and dealing with grief and things like that. She is awesome and she comes on social media as the Breakthrough Nurse. So we chat to her today, which is awesome. But first, we're going to give you our spill the tea for this week. So I guess Jess kind of already dropped her spill the tea. She's in Thursday Island. So that is her spill the tea that she's on a remote island.
Yep, island vibes.
And I've like really forgotten what my spill the tea was going to be. I actually forgot because we got so distracted by talking about other things.
What about pole?
Yes, true. Okay, so I've been starting pole dancing. If you guys have listened to any of the other episodes, I started doing pole dancing. And like every week I get abused by the pole. I end up with new bruises every time. I don't know how my body's not used to it yet, but apparently it's not. But I graduated level one pole for the second time.
Ooh, I'm so proud of you, girl.
Now I'm like so strong because you do like two of the same levels because they train different sides each time. So you'll do like a routine and it's mainly dominant for the left side. And then the next term they do mainly dominant for the right side. So they recommend doing the same term twice. So I did, and now I'm officially going to be going to level two, baby.
Oh, that is amazing.
More bruises to come.
You've been beaten every bloody day.
More bruises to come.
I mean, hopefully your body gets used to it. It's disgusting to look at, I tell you.
I know, but a lot of fun. But also, if I'm going away, I'm not going to be able to do as much, which is really sad. But hopefully I'll be able to still do it somewhere in the world.
You can't do it on the island with me, just FYI.
No. I might have to just like carry a pole. Is it like a collapsible pole you could put in your suitcase or something? If anyone knows about those, let us know. Because that'd be fun.
There's actually those around. I know there are. But they're a lot. Yeah. They're coming in a big box. You have to set it up. Yeah, 100%.
Like a collapsible one, you reckon? That you could just like screw into. Or you could like.
I don't know. Maybe I'm making shit up. Who knows?
Yeah. I feel like this is a good thought. I'm going to look into it. Anyway, that is our intro for this week. We're not going to talk too much because the episode is a bit of a long one, but we hope you enjoy it. And we will see you next Friday for some more flavor.
And what are we sending?
Love, life, and laughter to you always every day.
Bye, guys.
Bye. And we're here today with Han. She is a mindset coach for nurses, healers, empaths. She has an amazing Instagram page, and we wanted to get her on today to talk everything about compassion fatigue, I guess dealing with grief in your work life and then how to kind of deal with that in your home life. So, hey, Han, how are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Before we start our episode, we're going to get Han's spill the tea of this week. What is your spill the tea?
Oh, this is like a little bit of an embarrassing moment for me. So random story. So I was like going through my spare room and I found this present that my ex-boyfriend had given me. And it was like this gold plated rose. And I was like, I'm going to chuck this on Marketplace because I knew like it was like maybe $140 retail price. So I was like, we'll see if someone will purchase it. So anyway, I chucked it up and this person was like, yep, I'll come and grab it this afternoon. And I was like, cool, amazing. And you know, when you just get so engrossed in your day and you just like completely forget about other commitments. Anyway, that happened to me. I was like, I'm going to put my teeth whitening kit in. I'm going to do work and I'm going to like, you know, have a good old boogie to my favorite songs. Anyway, so got caught up in what I was doing. And then my dog started going absolutely spastic. And she is like a 13-month-old mastiff. So she's about 60 kilos, doesn't wear a collar in the house. So a little bit hard to restrain. And then I like went to the door to see what was happening. And I was like, who the fuck is at the door in like a high vis? Like my partner wasn't due home from work. So I was like, who is this? And he wouldn't knock on the door anyway. So I like slyly opened the door, still had my retainer in, was like completely caught off guard as to who's at my house. My dog's going spastic and I'm like holding her back. And he was like, oh, like I'm here for the rose. And I actually expected a girl. So I was like, oh shit, like 1 second, I'll go and get it. Trying to contain my dog. Anyway, went and got it. Like half went out the door. I'm like, this retainer makes you drool like a little bit. So you've got to be really conscious to like swallow your spit. Anyway, so I was like, anyway, sorting it out. And he was like, I've actually like forgotten the other part of the cash. Can I just transfer you? And I was like, sure. So anyway, make my way back inside to get my phone for my details, come back outside. He's standing there. He's like logging into his bank and stuff. And I give him my details. And then he's like waving his phone around trying to get the signal. And it was just like really awkward because I'm standing there and like he can't log onto his thing. And I'm like standing there with my phone in the rose and like trying to shove my dog back. And then anyway, he's doing that. And it was just this really awkward silence. And so I was like, oh my God, I've hardly said two words to him because I can hardly speak with this retainer. And so I was just like, shit, I've got to say something because it's just really awkward. And like his phone wasn't loading and he was just really trying that. And so anyway, I was like, okay, what can I ask him? And so I was thinking and I was like, oh, I could ask him like, you know, who's he getting the rose for? And so I did. And it came out like, is that for someone special? Because I had the retainer in. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I was drooling and I was like, this is just not a vibe. But it was awkward and embarrassing. And
oh my God.
But
did he buy it? Funny. A funny one.
He did. He bought it and then left. And then I like sat there for 5 minutes, like, I don't know what just happened. But that's my tea for the week.
That's hilarious. Awkward. Oh my God.
I love it. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah, we love that.
You're welcome.
Awkward moments. So we wanted to start off with a little bit, I guess, about you, Hen. So where'd you come from? Who are you? And kind of what led you to this journey that you're on now, where you're currently helping nurses and women just reclaim their power in life?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Hannah Sawyer, for those of you who I haven't met yet. Thanks for being here and thanks for listening. So I'm a registered nurse and founder of The Breakthrough Nurse. I'm also a dog mum and really just a girl who is super passionate about helping women to break through and really connect to that, you know, fierce like queen part of themselves and really know that they can get through anything that they want. It's just a matter of a mindset shift and, you know, working through what's coming up. So really for me, how I kind of got into this role, if you can call it, is through my own journey. And I think if you had said to me, you know, like 5 years ago, you'll be helping people through this, I would have not believed you because I was in such a different space then. So I've had a huge journey with my mindset and my mental health. And really, I struggled my way through uni and just the social anxiety I experienced and the depressive bouts and never feeling worthy and just feeling that real lack of confidence and feeling everything on such a deep level, like sensitive wise, I really was just in a shit place. And so I somehow managed to like push through uni just through sheer determination. And I managed to land a grad program at one of what was the busiest hospital in Perth at the time. And, you know, it was what I really wanted. I was so excited, you know, as every grad nurse is who's got a position. Yeah. It's like, you know, the start of your career. And I was just so, so happy and so pumped. And, you know, even though I had all this internal stuff going on, I was like, finally, you know, something's like looking up and I'm going to do the thing. I'm finally going to be a real nurse. And I still remember my first day on the ward. I got there and it was like this slap in the face. And I always say to my clients and, you know, those women that I work with, that when you're placed under pressure, like all your stuff will come up. Yes. So although I'd been like, you know, battling with this internal stuff before, I still kind of had that shielding of being a university student. But when I was like stepping into that role as a nurse and I have my responsibilities, my patients, that, you know, everything was on my shoulders now, all of my stuff came up like tenfold. So my anxiety got so much worse. I remember being on the ward and not being able to like look a doctor in the eye to ask them to chart something different, because I was just like, oh my God, you know, I was running these stories in my mind, like, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not confident, I'm so shy, I can't do this. And like my internal talk was awful. And of course that played out. And so it just was this huge kind of wake up call. And I didn't realize at the time that I could be different to how I was. I kind of just thought, this is just who I am. And this is just how I am. And so I actually, I guess it was divine timing, but I started a business, or kind of fell into a business at the same time as my grad program, and purely because it was an inspiration, it was a passion. And so I was like finally finding this thing that kind of was my outlet. And through actually getting into entrepreneurship and building a business, I fell into the world of personal development and realized like, oh, actually I don't have to be the way that I am now. I don't have to feel this way. And really went on this deep like internal journey and really broke through all my limiting beliefs and like let go of my old identity and really started to step into who I was and found, you know, my self-belief and my confidence and like my love for myself, and almost got back into my body, because it's like I wasn't living in my body. I was just living in my head all the time, and it was so exhausting. So through that, through trying many different things and, you know, going on that journey is really what led me to helping other people do the same.
Wow. That is incredible.
That was powerful.
Yeah. So how old were you when you started your grad program, if you don't mind me asking?
So I'm trying to think, I feel really old now. I'm like reflecting back. I went straight from high school to university. So I would have been
21?
Yeah, it must have been 20 or 21. Yeah.
And then that's when you started your online business as well, around that age.
Yeah. Yep. So started that and kind of, because it was such an inspiring community, like full transparency, it was in network marketing, and I just was taking the products and thought, okay, I'll share this, you know, other people need this, but didn't realize like the journey that that would kind of trigger. So yeah, it all kind of led me to doing what I do now.
That's amazing. Wow. I totally agree. When I was nursing and going through a rough time, I did some, and I still do actually, like a multi-level marketing company to do with health. And it actually, they unlock so much personal development and they actually teach you so much about yourself. As soon as you were saying that, I was like, wow, because I actually did have a really bad period in my nursing and personal life. And that is totally what got me out of it. And onto this like amazing path of being so positive and happy. So I was like, whoa, girl, I feel you. As soon as you said that, you're me. So
relatable.
So much. Love
that. That's so awesome though. Like, especially being at such a young age, like I guess a lot of people are lost when they're in their early 20s. I think we all have been there, especially when you do start, like you said, you start this nursing career that you are finally on your own. You're doing something that's like not only your first job, but like something that's so important. You're like, you're basically taking responsibility for people's lives. It's not like a normal job where you go and like have an internship or whatever. Like, you're straight on the floor and you're straight looking after these patients. And if anything happens, like, you're it. So it's quite confronting, especially as like a young person who isn't so sure of themselves, having that like assurability to be able to like look after people. It's super confronting, and no wonder people go through that. And I feel like it is quite a scary place, especially with the hierarchy of doctors and things that go on, like, I guess, talking to doctors and all that anxiety and stuff, like it would come up. And it probably is a lot of people that go through that. I'm sure you see that in your job now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And it's, I think the environment of healthcare itself, like if you're not prepared for it, it kind of sweeps you off your feet, because you're walking into this space where like the people that you're looking after are at their very, very worst, which means that often, you know, they can project stuff onto you and, you know, kind of you can sometimes be their punching bag. And if you're not equipped to deal with that, as well as, you know, the things that go on within the hospital politics and the staffing and the doctors and, you know, the inter like disciplinary relationships, it's a lot. And then coupled with like, you know, codes and all these things happening, you're just like, holy shit, like this is insane. And you don't have that preceptor there and you don't have that person to be like, what do I do now? Like I remember my first day on the ward, we were supposed to have like an SDN buddy shift. And I was like, sweet, I've got someone there like holding my hand. Rock up, no SDN on the afternoon. Don't know what happened, but I was on and I was with, thankfully they were incredible, but it was basically just us grads and one senior nurse. And the other grads were a little bit ahead of me, so they really, really helped me out. And I was so grateful for that. But you always, it's like sink or swim. You're not always going to get that support. So you've really got to build it internally.
Yeah, definitely. And I think being so young, it's hard to build that internally. And I know that obviously a lot of the reason that we're here today is to talk about compassion fatigue and how you're caring for all these people and putting so much of yourself into everyone else that sometimes I guess you kind of, all your compassion gets exhausted out. And I think like working where I worked in intensive care, which is kind of a major, one of the major reasons that I left my full-time job in intensive care was because I kind of felt myself slipping from that compassion, I guess that like factor that you should have as a nurse. And I was slipping from that. And I was just like dealing with all these deaths that like didn't faze me. And I was like, this is just not like something's missing here. Like I'm just not feeling anything anymore. And I knew at that point, like I didn't want to be, you know how we all see those nurses that are so crabby and they're angry all the time and they're just like grumpy.
They honestly exist.
Honestly, they're everywhere. And we all say,
so many pop into my mind when you say that. I'm like,
oh yeah. And we all tell each other, like, tell me when I'm like that, because that means that I need to leave. Like, tell me before that happens. And I think I was just like noticing it myself. Not that I was getting crabby, like not that I was getting like that, but I just noticed that I wasn't able to give as much myself as I was before. And I know that happens a lot. So like, I guess what we would love to cover is kind of what is an empath and like, where does that process come from? And like, how does that kind of exhibit in nursing or in like your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this question. So probably I would say like 95 to even up to 98% of the nurses that I work with are empaths or consider themselves empaths. I have done some like research on this in my Instagram stories, and I think I've only ever gotten one voter saying I'm a nurse and I'm not an empath. So that's a pretty big you know, like interesting fact there. But basically, I feel that if you are drawn to nursing, then you've got, you know, those qualities of being that empathic kind of sensitive type soul. So being an empath basically means that you feel things on a deep level. So you are, you know, that really caring, nurturing friend who always seems to have people who open up to them, and, you know, you don't even have to start the conversation. People just like to share with you because you have that energy of being like a safe space. But it also means that you are easy. It's easy for you to take on other people's emotions. So, you know, when you are experiencing or your patient's experiencing something tragic, it's like you really take that on your shoulders. And it's kind of a way that you connect with people because you're empathizing with them, but it also has that emotional toll on you. You tend to have good intuition as well, so you're quite, you know, in tune. You feel overwhelmed in large crowds is another usual trait of empaths, and these are all kind of just frameworks, so it may vary for each person. But basically you're feeling things on a really deep level and you're taking that on, and you're always that helper. And really excessive loud noises, busyness and hecticness kind of throws you off your alignment quite easily, say, compared to someone who doesn't have those empathic qualities.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I feel like nursing definitely, like you said, draws someone who is at least like partially empathetic or has that kind of empath trait, because like we want to give back and we want to be able to be there for people in those vulnerable moments. So we just have to, I guess, learn how to deal with that, because if we're dealing with people who are in such a vulnerable spot and they're leaning on us all the time, like, we then absorb that. And like, we're going to obviously need to have some sort of things in the place to kind of stop that from affecting our daily lives. So what would happen to, like, what, how does, I guess, being an empath affect people in their daily lives, like leaving work?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that's just so important to have awareness around, because like you said, it's not something that you necessarily want to change about yourself, because I really feel like your sensitivity can be your superpower.
Yeah.
But it's learning and really kind of doing that self-inquisition to be like, okay, I feel like this when I'm around this person, or, you know, when I get home from work, I'm feeling this way, so I need to do X, Y, Z for myself. And it's kind of just really bringing that, shining the light of awareness on yourself, your emotions, your behaviors, and looking at, like, where do you feel most excited and joyous in your life, and where do you feel most drained, and what are you doing at the time, and kind of looking at how you can manage that. And also looking at, like, how you can work on pouring into yourself, and like, your emotional home, so where you live emotionally, is affecting the quality of your life every single second of every single day. So if you're taking on everyone's stuff and not dealing with that and not, you know, moving through it and letting it go, then that's going to bank up pretty quick and it's going to affect your life. So it's like really being aware, but also knowing your energy and how you can manage that, and how you can actually put boundaries in place to be like, no, I'm going to take today for myself, because I know when I do this for myself, I feel really good and I'm centered and I'm calm. So really it's, I'd say the first step is that awareness for sure.
Yeah. And I guess, like, for someone who, I guess, isn't aware maybe, and is going to work and is becoming that crabby nurse that, like, we all see, and they're not aware of it themselves, like, how does that, I guess, how does that exhibit itself in their life? Like, are you just constantly exhausted to the point of burnout? Like, do you just experience burnout symptoms? Is that kind of where it exacerbates itself?
Yeah. So what you'll find is that you'll be coming home and, you know, you might be like extra snappy at your partner, or you might not even have the space to really hold the space to listen to how your partner's day was, because you've just got no emotional reserve left. So you kind of become distant from people, and you can kind of retreat and, you know, pull back and not be your full self. You may also, you know, stop doing the things that you love and, like, really start to recluse and start to, like, really, you know, start to hermit, because you just don't have the capacity to do the things you once could, because your emotional reserve's gone. And also, I think, you know, that general just frustration, less patience, and moving into kind of being snappy with people. So it's like, when you've got no reserves left, like, it's super easy to be in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, for me personally, like, working in ICU, I was working all through COVID and things, and not that even the COVID patients were necessarily the bad ones. It was just the fact that everyone was coming in was so, so sick at that point. Like, the people were leaving their sicknesses until the last minute before coming in, and they were really unwell. And I think because they could only have a certain amount of people in that room with them, or, like, coming into intensive cares or wards and things, they lent on us a lot, like, a lot more than I think they would, because their family members weren't able to be there with them. And no one else really knew what was going on but the people that were inside that room and inside the ward and stuff. And, like, have this distinct memory of one moment that, like, I think about almost every day, I reckon, since that day that it happened. And it was this gay couple, and they were in their, like, mid to late 70s, and they had been married for like 50 years, and they were just so in love. And the way that they talked about each other was just amazing. And one of the guys, okay, I'm just going to call this guy Mike. And then his partner's name was, what's a French name? Give me a French name.
Ooh. Oh God. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to say his real name.
Just
say Frenchie. Just call him Frenchie.
Jean. How about we say Jean or something?
Jean. Okay.
Is that even Mike French? And Jean. Okay. So
it is now.
Anyway, Mike got really sick, and he was the one that did everything. He drove Jean around, and he did all the finances, and he did everything. And then he got really sick. He ended up getting pancreatic cancer, and as we all know, pancreatic cancer is intense, and like it can go downhill very, very quickly. And it did go downhill very, very quickly. But I personally got really, really close to Jean. Like me and him, we used to talk every day. He would come in and just have all these amazing stories to say about Mike and how he'd basically, Mike taught himself French for his partner so that he could talk to him in French. Ooh, like it was
so romantic.
Just like so romantic. And they had the best love ever. And I remember he got so sick one night. And because we'd all got so attached to him, even the doctors were so hesitant about withdrawing care to the point that he had basically got a necrotic pancreas. Like he had nothing left. It was, he already had as much of it removed as possible. And he ended up having like massive internal bleeding to the point where we were just keeping him alive with basically inotropes and vasopressors and things like that. And he wasn't, he just, we all knew he wasn't going to survive it. And he went downhill very, very quickly. And I remember standing at the end of the bedside because I was supposed to go home at this point, but we were just all there trying to help because we needed to, we just felt like we couldn't leave. We just needed to help because we'd been there so long for this guy. And we were all there and the doctor was standing at the end of the bed telling us like, do this, do that, do that. And then one of the nurses actually goes, no, this needs to stop. Like you cannot push this guy anymore. And like to this day, like, I'm so proud of that nurse for standing up for that because she just said to the doctor, like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. She was looking after him and she's like, I'm not pushing. You need to call Jean. You need to get him in because he's going to die tonight. And even the doctor was like, no, no, no. Like, I'll call him in the morning. And she was like, no, call him now. Get him in right now because he's not going to make it. And we all were there. And it was just like, I went home after that. Jean came in and I had to go home because I was next. I was back in the next morning. I came in the next morning and he had passed away. And I remember he was still sitting in the room. Jean was still sitting in there and it had been like 12 hours and he was still sitting in a like curtained off room, just sitting in there. And I was just like, oh God, like I got hand over and they obviously said that what had happened. And I just went in there and I had to go in and see him and he was just sitting there and he just like broke down. And I don't really cry about many patients, but like I hugged him and we just cried together. And it's making me so emotional now, but it was so sad. It was so sad, but like so special that I was there for him. But he was just like, the things that he would say was just like, I don't know how to drive. How am I going to drive myself around? I didn't do the finances. Like John, he did the finances. How am I supposed to do this? And it was just like so emotional. And like, I just took a huge toll on myself. And like, honestly think that every day I'm just like, what is he doing now? How is he living? Like it affected me so much. And I think after that moment, I did become so shut off from nursing and from like death in general. And I just like, as much as I was there for my patients, my patients' families, I knew just from then on, like I wasn't able to give that level that I gave to them. And I think that's at that point was the point where I was like, yeah, I need to do something different with nursing because I need to get myself back and I need to kind of like deal with this grief when it's not even necessarily my grief to deal with, but it's like we carry this grief of other people being nurses, especially seeing death all the time. It's really hard. And I completely understand why it affects people's lives because you do carry this grief, but then you feel guilty that you're carrying a grief because it's not really yours to hold. So it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got shivers as you were saying that whole thing. Like, yeah, what an amazing, like, for you to be there and hold the space for them and, you know, like what an honor and how incredible. Yeah. It's so like, it's a tough job being a nurse and really like dealing with grief. Like this is not a normal job and this is not everyday stuff. It's like you're dealing with the worst case scenario, so it's not something that we can like switch off, like feeling that level of depth. But really what we can do is start to have some tools in place and some things that are gonna really bring us back to our center and also allow us to work through the emotion that comes up, because probably the number one thing that I see with my nurse clients is like that suppression of emotion, because as you said, like it hurts to be that connected to someone and to be so invested in for them to then pass away. It's like it's heartbreaking. So really what happens then, and that's, you know, our natural brain's response is to shut us off and protect us. Our brain always wants to keep us safe. So it's almost like you get this invisible armor and you're like, well, I'm not going to do that again because it fucking hurts. But at the same time, it kind of goes the other way. And then you end up like suppressing the emotion. And what happens when we suppress emotion is it's like trying to hold a huge beach ball under the water at the beach. And you're like holding it down, holding it down. And, you know, it's getting really hard to hold. And then all of a sudden a huge wave comes, you lose control, and then it pops up and it smacks you in the face, or it smacks your friend that's there in the face. And that's what happens when we suppress emotion. So even if we are blocking ourselves or not dealing with it, like, our nervous system will always be dealing with it as well. Yeah. So it's really important to, like, allow the emotions to move through and up and out and really, like, alchemize them. And this is a lot of the work that I do, because we've kind of been taught, and, you know, from our brain's response as well, that it's not safe to feel these emotions. And especially if we haven't grown up in a house that openly had communication about emotions and it wasn't okay for you to express yourself as a child, then that carries on into adulthood. And also, we're not taught in school, you know, this is a healthy way to cope with emotion. It just, everyone kind of just goes about their life and pushes it down to save face. But really, like, yeah, we've got to tune in and really allow the emotion to come up and out so that we can release it. And, you know, grief is such an interesting one, because I know in uni I got taught, like, this four-step process to grief, but, you know, it's not just a four-step process. It's like, if you imagine, like, an, you know, like a spiral, it's like, always, you know, you'll feel really good some days and then you'll feel everything another day. And that's the same with healing. Like, healing comes in layers. So you might heal from something traumatic that happened in your life, and then, you know, you might experience something that was similar, and some of those old feelings may come up, and you'll get a deeper truth about it. You get a deeper learning, and you'll move through it again. So it's just about, like, really bringing it back to you, like, caring for yourself and nurturing yourself through your emotions, which is not an easy thing to do, because it can be super, super confronting and also painful.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess, like, how, like, what are those tools and tricks that people can do to kind of, I guess, one, process emotions that they experience at work, and, like, two, I guess, deal with that in their normal life, and I guess stop it from affecting them long term?
Yeah, 100%. So first step is really creating the space for yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of workplaces don't have, like, proper debrief protocols in place, or even the space and the capacity to work through that. It's kind of just like, cool, that's the end of your shift, and, you know, you go off, go home and deal with that, and then you come back the next day and you've got to, you know, keep calm and carry on, because that's your job. So really, we've got to take that responsibility on ourselves and create the space for ourselves first and foremost. So it's not always appropriate to deal with your emotions at work, because, of course, like, you know, you've got someone else in the next room who needs your help. And so you've kind of, like, as nurses, we've become very good at, like, just putting on a brave face and then keeping going. But when you get home that shift, or as soon as is possible, like, sitting with yourself and creating the space and, you know, grabbing a cuppa and really tuning into yourself, and then actually tuning in, not just sitting, but, like, really, you know, looking inward and acknowledging how you feel and knowing that it's okay. Like, it's okay to feel that way, and not judging yourself for those emotions. And it sounds so simple, but it's so important to do that. And the more we do this, the more we get used to this, like, eventually you can move to a space where you feel something comes up, you deal with it, and you move through. The next thing is processing. So you want some tools to actually, like, process the emotion. And we have kind of different layers and levels to ourselves. So, like, our mental brain, our mental energy, you know, we can use something like journaling to get everything out. So if you've just experienced something at work and you come home and your brain's kind of, like, buzzing everywhere and thinking about all the things, grab your journal out, or grab a piece of paper out if you don't have a journal, just literally, like, brain dump everything that's in your mind out onto paper and just, like, let it out and let it flow. Don't judge yourself. Don't try and make it sound a certain way. Just be, like, completely unfiltered. And just get it out, and really ask yourself some good quality questions as well. Like, okay, well, how am I feeling? What's happened? How do I feel now? And what's actually underneath what's coming up? Because what happens is, often we're experiencing something in the moment, but it's actually also attached to, like, all these past events, and your subconscious mind remembers absolutely everything that you have gone through. And so when we have these big emotions come through, it's like, all of that, you know, amplified and is coming through. So asking yourself, okay, what is actually underneath this? And, you know, it may be what you've experienced here, but it may be some flavors of some other things that you've been through too that are coming up for you to work through. And I really believe that, you know, everything is happening for us, for our growth and for us to be the person that we want to be and have asked to be. And so really like observing that and also asking yourself, okay, what am I most proud of about myself in this situation? Or what have I learned? And what am I learning? Or is there a lesson here for me? Or is there, you know, something for me to take away? And really like kind of acknowledging yourself for showing up through that time. So that's kind of like a conscious process, but really, like I was saying before, we want to get to the nervous system and release the emotion from there. Because if we're just doing it consciously, it's still going to live in your nervous system. So one of my favorite tools is breath work. And basically, this really allows us to go beyond the mind and work with the body to release the emotion. So you can start super simple. There's like so many awesome YouTube tutorials and things that you can go to and just try it out and see how you feel. But if you have a breathwork class in your local area, I would 1000% recommend going and experiencing a longer term breathwork for yourself, because it's insane. Like, I can't explain it, but the level of peace you feel after you've been on that journey is crazy. And yeah, there's so many, but those are just a few that you can start with.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely
done breath work before.
Yeah. It's super interesting. Like, and it was a huge thing that I had a lot of insomnia when I was younger. And it was a thing that helped me so much with that. Every time I've got really bad insomnia, I like will breathe into different parts of my body, and it just like helps you relax. And it actually like gets rid of all the tension that you're holding in yourself. And it really does. Like, people think it's so silly, like woo woo, or you're just going to sit there and breathe, but it actually does work. And it helps.
Oh, it does magical things. Yeah. I had a really tough period of my life, and I went to some counseling sessions, and the counselor said to me, she's like, I just want you to take like a big deep breath in. And I was like, that just sounds so stupid. But I was like, okay. And then as I was trying to breathe in, I actually physically could not. I was going, like, I was like, whoa, what the hell? It was like my throat was closing up. And then I tried again. I'm like, and I was like, whoa, I can't do it. And then when I actually relaxed my body and took that breath in, I actually just fully started crying. It was so strange, because my body was just like constantly, I don't know, trying to protect myself from like, I don't know, breaking down. But then I needed to deal with that. It was so powerful. When people say breath work, I'm like, oh, I've had some deep breath work.
But yeah, I guess it's because like your brain is like trying to, like your brain is like blocking the rest of it out. So you're like thinking you're fine, but it has to manifest somewhere, and it manifests in your body and stuff, and in anxiety and how you hold yourself. So like, we're all connected. Our whole entire body is connected. It's crazy. People think that they can just brush it off, but really they can't. It stays with you.
100%. Yeah. And also going back to what you were saying there, like a lot of us walk around and we just breathe into like the top part of our lungs. We're like, we're just walking around and kind of like in fight or flight mode, especially when you're at work. So like those deep breaths, like how the emotion came up there is like, you know, your body is always communicating with you, and it's such a messenger. So that's so powerful. That's amazing you had that experience.
Anyone out there who
a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. Anyone who I guess is going through these traumatic things, like I know that Jess, you haven't had as much experience because you kind of work more in the emergency department and kind of like in theater where they transition through. So you're not really seeing, I guess, like death as much straight on. But I'm sure you see some traumatic things, like people do crash and people do have arrests and things where like you don't see the outcome of that. Like a lot of also in emergency, they don't see the outcome of that because they do come to ICU. So it's hard kind of like, I would kind of find that hard not being able to find out what happened to them as well. I feel like that would be a hard thing to process because you kind of just see them and then they're gone. And then I know that you might like, I guess, block it out.
I personally try not to think about it. I try not to think about it because I think, oh my God, like say his name's Jerry. And I'm like, been with Jerry for the last 6 hours, stabilizing him. And then we take him to ICU and then I say bye. Like I'll usually go see him the next day and just pop my head through ICU and I'm like, how's little Jerry doing? Like I like to try and find out, but then I try to stop myself at the same time. So I'm like, no, Jess, it doesn't matter. Just focus on the next lot of patients. But then I try not to, but then there is lots of parts of me that keep trying as well.
Yeah. But I think like in nursing as well, it's super important. Another thing, I guess, like similar to going home and kind of reflecting and journaling, but doing that with other people, like with your other colleagues, and even like if your partner understands that, that's great too. But having a debrief, I guess, with someone that's been through it or like has been, was there with you when that happened, it's good to go and have a big debrief. And I think workplaces don't do it enough. I know that it's very hard with COVID at the moment and things, getting enough space and rooms for people and whatnot, but hospitals definitely don't do enough debriefing of traumas, because it's so important to talk about those things with the colleagues that you've like, it's been, that you've been through with them. And I think that helps like stopping it boiling up and I guess leading to burnout and compassion fatigue, because you actually like, you're not only you helping kind of get through that moment, but like it brings you closer to your colleagues too and lets you like lean on them and trust them more, I think.
Yeah. And like, if you do get offered to use EAP, the employee assistance program, like actually take on the offer. It's actually free, and every hospital and every state like tells you it's there. So actually use it. But then like, you know, Hans created this amazing, you know, network where you can actually use those tools. If you don't want to go through EAP because you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm embarrassed, or maybe you've used your sessions or whatnot, there's other things out there.
Yeah. But even like EAP, I used it like after my breakup. It doesn't even have to be towards work. It can be you dealing with things outside of work that are then affecting you at work, or vice versa. Like, it doesn't have to just necessarily be work. You don't have to use employment assistance program for work. You can use it for anything. Just like use it. Why not? It's 10 free sessions. I don't know what, it's different in every state, but some free counseling sessions. Like ask them about breath work. Ask them to go through things with you and establish those things, because it will help. Talking always.
They all talk about breath work. Trust me.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
They all bring it up.
They sure so do. Good.
I think there's no shame in asking for help. And I think it's actually the strong thing to do. It's the strongest thing to do. I've been told otherwise. But yeah, it absolutely is.
We just want to know, like, what kind of services do you provide? Like, what is out there for our listeners, for nurses, for empaths, for anyone kind of going through this? Like, what can they find? What do you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Breakthrough Nurse as a brand, I offer one-to-one coaching. So I do that within like a 3-month container. So that's a deep dive working with your subconscious mind. So your subconscious is up to 97% of your mind space. So it is the place that stores all your memories, your emotional patterns, your thought patterns, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about other people, how you see the world. And so when we want to make deep change and really create something new, we need to work from that place. So that is one thing that I offer. And the other program that I run is called Untamed, and so that's like a group breakthrough. So we're just in the final week of that last round of the year now, which is crazy to think about. But really, Untamed is focused on helping nurses and empaths to create like a fierce mindset, and we go on a lot of subconscious journeys and let go of what's no longer serving us, and then really move into a space where we feel good and okay to work through our emotions and have those healthy coping mechanisms, and really like connect to the part of you that you want to bring forward. So like, you know, your confident badass self, and have the tools to really feel like you can take on the world. Like, you know, you can handle anything that comes your way. And that's really what I aim to do, is like empower my clients to know that, okay, like, even because life's going to happen, work's going to happen. And so if you're solid within yourself and your relationship with yourself, and you've got the tools, it can be like water off your wings. You know, you can give yourself what you need. You can self-soothe, self-coach, and come from that space. And then the other thing that I've just created, which I'm low-key obsessed with, is my affirmation cards. So they're the Queen Yourself affirmations. And really, like, Bequeen Yourself is kind of my sub-brand. And it's like, you know, becoming your queen self. So like, become yourself, but your queen self. So every woman has a queen version inside them. It's just sometimes we've forgotten, or, you know, we haven't connected to that part of ourselves. So really, the cards are super sassy, not for children because there's some swear words in there, but they are like really designed to pull that part out of you, and really like a tool, like a physical tool that you can use to start your day and be like, cool, I'm gonna have an amazing day today, and, you know, pull your cards and then go about your day. So that's really what I offer at the moment.
Awesome. And you're starting your own podcast too.
Yes. So it's going to be called the Queen Yourself, the podcast. So it's going to be chatting, all things like mindset and a little bit of nursing in there, but more so like, you know, personal development and really having a fierce mindset and again, bringing your queen self forward.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. It.
Powerful.
Yeah. She's a bad bitch.
Thank you.
She is a bad bitch.
So are you, ladies, though.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today. Like, that was such an awesome chat. Like, honestly, I feel like we all go through it. We all understand it. And even if you're not a nurse, like, you go through these things in your life with normal grief and, I guess, compassion fatigue. Everyone goes through it. So it's been awesome having you on. And, yeah, we really, really appreciate all your amazing knowledge and expertise.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye.